Al-Qaeda has established a terror network throughout Southeast Asia, even in Thailand, a mostly Buddhist nation heavily dependent on tourism. Investigators have discovered that Al-Qaeda used the country as a transit point and held at least one meeting there. Some worry that Thailand might be the next terrorist target. In the last installment of a five-part series on terrorism in Southeast Asia, NPR's Eric Weiner has this report from Bangkok.
Thailand has a reputation, well-deserved, for gracious hospitality. You can sense it the moment your plane touches down at Bangkok International Airport.
Official, please, flight TG9 from Paris.
The immigration officials here may be the only ones in the world who actually smile. They ask few intrusive questions of visitors. Until recently, citizens from most of the world's nations, more than 130, didn't even need a visa to enter or could get one in a matter of minutes at the airport. Breeze through customs and then you're serenaded by a troupe of traditional Thai dancers. Surin Pitsuan, a member of the Thai parliament, says it's all designed to make visitors feel welcome.
Because it is a very accommodating place. People from all around the world find Thailand a comfortable place to be, to travel through, to go anywhere. And that's our attraction.
Tourists aren't the only ones who find Thailand's openness attractive. Among those who passed through Bangkok recently was Hambali, leader of Al-Qaeda's Southeast Asian network and mastermind behind the October Bali bombing. He's also on America's most wanted list. Hambali allegedly spent 2 weeks here in Bangkok, meeting other Islamic militants and planning the Bali bombing, as well as more attacks against resorts, nightclubs, and other so-called soft targets throughout Southeast Asia. Bangkok is a labyrinth of alleys and canals, the kind of city where someone like Hambali could hide out for weeks. Don Patan is a Thai journalist who's covered the Bangkok underworld.
This country has been, back in the old, two decades ago, up until now, it's been the transit for drugs. Bangkok's been turning to the city for all the world, freedom fighters, rebels. They come here to make deals, to buy arms. I mean, it's all in your face here, you know, just look around.
In Bangkok, says Patan, everything is for sale. In some neighborhoods, it's drugs. In others, guns. In this area, a heavily Muslim neighborhood, the specialty is stolen passports, an important tool used by Al-Qaeda operatives. Don Patan says all you need is a few hundred dollars and the right connections.
The local merchants, they're the one who they can make recommendations of who to talk to. My impression is that you would have to go through maybe two or three guys before you get to the right person.
But if you have the money, it can be done?
Yes. From what I was told, they were very good copies. Sometime every now and then you run into diplomatic passports as well.
Thai police make a few token arrests now and then, but a laissez-faire attitude persists, critics say. The fear is that Thailand represents not only a way station for Al-Qaeda, but also a potential target. That's why several Western nations have issued travel advisories for Thailand. The U.S. State Department issued this blanket advisory for all of Southeast Asia.
The department is concerned that individuals and groups may be planning terrorist actions against United States citizens and interests, as well as sites frequented by Westerners. Extremist groups present in Southeast Asia have transnational capabilities to carry out attacks against locations where Westerners congregate.
Those locations, the warning says, could include clubs, restaurants, schools, hotels, resorts, and beaches. The Thai government is furious. An ominous warning like that leads to millions of dollars in lost tourist revenue and blemishes the country's image as the land of smiles. Thailand's deputy prime minister spoke for many people here when he said the warnings made him want to vomit. Other government officials are more diplomatic, but the travel warnings do highlight a basic paradox that countries like Thailand face.
We have this immense problem of trying to make it easy for people to travel and difficult for the wrong types of people to travel.
John Kodolsky is head of the Pacific Asia Travel Association. Western governments, he says, may feel they are acting prudently by issuing these travel advisories. But is Bangkok, Kodolsky wonders, more dangerous than, say, New York or London?
Basically, any country in the world is a target these days. You pick a city, and I can take you down some back street and we can get into a lot of trouble. That's the nature of the world today.
Security has been tightened at five-star hotels like the Oriental, a Bangkok landmark known for its refined taste. The hotel's manager declined to discuss security arrangements, but the men in dark blue suits, talking into their sleeves and furtively scanning the lobby, the pool, the restaurants, suggest that the hotel is indeed taking the terrorist threat seriously. One of the guests here is Bill Gare, a lanky Californian with a broad smile. He says he feels perfectly safe in Thailand.
I felt this is not a Muslim area, and I didn't feel the threat from that culture, so I felt, you know, this was a good trip, and this part of Asia is so gentle, in my view, that we've just had a great time, and it has borne out that as we've gone.
He's right. Thailand is not a majority Muslim nation, but it does have 2.5 million Muslim citizens, about 4% of the population. They have their grievances, and for a while, a small separatist movement in southern Thailand gathered steam, but that fizzled over a decade ago. Today, Muslims in Thailand have real political clout. They've reached nearly the top of government, and for the most part, pride themselves on their moderate views. The atmosphere at the Harun Mosque, not far from the Oriental Hotel, is decidedly relaxed, with women and men mixing easily outside the prayer hall. Naren Watara Pisan says he considers himself Thai first, Muslim second. Al-Qaeda's violent anti-Western message, he says, simply doesn't resonate with Thailand's moderate Muslims.
If there's an outside group who's coming in here and brainwashing the local community or indoctrinating them to carry out terrorist activities, this would be very, very difficult. What we're afraid of is the infiltrator, people who claim themselves to be Muslim. They could be sinners, they could be killers, they could be whatever. But these are the people we're afraid of.
The Thai government says it is determined to see that does not happen. It's dispatched 1,000 police officers to guard tourist spots and has tightened entry requirements, an attempt to make it more difficult for people like Hambali, the most wanted man in Southeast Asia, to enter the country. Sihasak Phong Kit Kiao is a government spokesman.
We don't deny that he might have been here, but we have taken steps to crack down and to improve our security measures and to make sure that it doesn't happen and to have better coordination with other countries.
So far, Thailand has avoided any major terrorist attacks. But former Foreign Minister Sorin Pitsuan, himself a Muslim, says he's worried. Worried that international events, a U.S. attack on Iraq in particular, could inflame moderate Muslims not only in Thailand, but throughout Southeast Asia.
In all societies, in Indonesia, Malaysia, Thailand, Singapore, we have achieved a certain point of communal relations. Flare up once in a while, but containable. I just hope that there's nothing in the future that would put too much pressure on that and it'll break and then it'll be very difficult to manage.
So difficult to manage, says Pitsuan, that here in the teeming cities and fertile rice fields of Southeast Asia, more and more young men might be drawn to Al-Qaeda's violent cause. Eric Weiner, NPR News, Bangkok.
The entire series is at npr.org. Everybody goes.